Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Matariki te tipua, matariki te tawhito. Tau mai te wairua, mai nā ira atua. Ki te ira tangata, tihei mauri ora. Hoki mai ki kahurangi, nau mai haere mai ki tō tātou wahanga matariki, ko Amber Craig Takuingoa. Welcome to our matariki episode. I am joined in the studio today by someone who has hailed her way back from Italy, our whanaunihia Tia Tahia.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koe, sis.
Nice and we should also be joined shortly by Wairaka as well. So, unfortunately, Sunny would have been in the tari with us too. However, he's been mawiwi, so kia piki te ora, Sunny. Kahurangi brings together our rich Wairarapa history by delving into local kōrero, pūrākau and taonga of Wairarapa, while also helping whānau to stay connected and up-to-date with relevant kaupapa Māori across Aotearoa. So welcome back the wonderful cold shores of Aotearoa. I'm just going to throw it over to you to see if there's anything you wanted to share about your hekoe and where your whānau have been and thoughts on being back. And
We are back, all four of us. So my husband Davide, who I have introduced to the show, our two tamariki, Mario and Marekura, who have been on the show, who have been in the studio and are craving to come back in at some point, potentially through the school holidays. We've been for 3 months back in our whare over in Sicily. So we live in this beautiful retirement village. We call it a retirement village. It's not official. But I reckon we bring the average age down by about 50 years because many of the people who live there permanently are 80 plus. And the wairua of the place is one of a very slow-paced way of living, living off the land, living off the sea. Many fishermen are still out there every morning from 3 or 4 a.m., getting their haul to distribute throughout the community. There's only one shop. The shop is a bar, a cafe, a restaurant, and whatever else you need, all in one. And when we're there, we reconnect in to Davide's whakapapa, to my kids' taha Italiano, taha Europe. So it was a three months' time of reflection for us, a chance to reset and to slow down a little bit because our lives in Aotearoa, New Zealand are a lot busier. But we're back. We're back now because we flew in about 2 weeks ago and I had to fly straight down to Ōtautahi where it's been very, very cold. It got quite warm, so it's not quite summer in Italy yet, but Sicily has an all-round summer, all year round. And their springtime can get up to about 20, 25 degrees most days.
That sounds like a dream
it's
right
like
now.
It's like a New Zealand summer. But that weekend we left, both our volcanoes were active, so Etna and Stromboli.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just providing a bit of drama. thankfully, the wind was blowing the other way, so we could fly out, and it was about 40 degrees, so it was very, very hot. And we're feeling the frost, and we're trying to settle a little bit. But my week away in Ōtautahi meant that I was busy enough to be distracted by the jet lag. And now that we're back and waited up, it's certainly catching up. So I'm grateful to you, Amber, for leading this corridor. But it is nice to be here and at a time of reflection and shredding and letting go and thinking about planning the future. So quite excited about what that means.
Cool. So today's session will be about with the obvious matariki rising around us, some reflections on what we felt has gone well this year, what hasn't gone so well, and then what are some of the key lessons and things that we might want to change within our lives, within Te Ao, within our whānau, within our communities. So that's where we're going to head into. But first we're just going to open up with a bit of a waiata. So our Fenona Towers has And I think I put this up on my Instagram where I was like, how unfair is it that I have these whanaunga that have these amazing voices and then I at best probably have a backup voice for the singing. But Tawas has just released Manawa Maie Matariki Waiata featuring Stan Walker, Honi, Hera, Hops, Neps and Rani. And it is beautiful. And so we're going to play it. And then after the Waiata, we'll start to kick into our kōrero and hopefully Wairika has joined us by then. Ka pai. Manawa Maria. We're just bopping along and having some kōrero in the studio here. And so, let me just turn off. Ka pai. I'm still getting the hang of this with all the buttons and stuff, so welcome back. Well, we might as well kick off with Matariki. And this year as well, we were talking about what to speak about. We have noticed with Living by the Stars, they've also brought in the theme of poanga as well. Do you want to kick off any thoughts that you have about matariki, ma, poanga?
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's probably worth noting and reminding people that matariki and poanga are stars that mark certain changes in the landscapes and seascapes that we all interact with. However, they are only some markers of many, and that those tohu, the signs and the symbols that indicate change or shift or movement, are forever and are often. And so while this is a significant one or a significant time, tohu are all around us all the time. And so I particularly love this year's theme because it reminds us that there's a much larger ecosystem. The sky is massive, and so too are all of the learnings involved. And so for those people who are still trying to get the hang of puanga, I think the important parts to note are puanga and matariki rise and fall at very similar times each year.
Yep.
That they're both visible or invisible at similar times each year, and that they both mark the significant seasonal shift from raumati to takurua and back again. They both appear out of a time of invisibility, and that puanga is easily seen by some of our whānau, some of the rohe, some of the areas in Aotearoa where matariki isn't easily seen. Sometimes because matariki is just so low on the horizon, but often because there's something in the way, like a maunga. Yeah. So I think about the whānau in Whanganui, some of our whānau in Wellington, lots of our rangitāne whānau around the place who simply cannot see the rise of matariki. They would look to puanga for the same reasons that we would look to matariki.
Yeah, so my partner's from Whanganui Awa, from further up, so Raitihi, Papiriki, and of course they have their koro rua pehu, who's right in the middle of it. And then I'm from Moa Upoku, so where they have landed and settled at the moment is in the Hora Whenua, but they came from that whenua for many generations. And so, of course, they have the big Tararua ranges right beside them. And so, yeah, really interesting to me that matariki wouldn't have been as visible. However, puanga would have been a massive sign for them to ring in the new year and the beginning of the next cycle and all those types of things.
Yeah, I always think of it as like the reset, you know, the reset. So like New Year's in our kind of more European traditions, it is significant enough for us to want together and need together, but we're already doing it anyway because it's winter and it's freezing cold and there's less activity. And in terms of providing or the provision of kai and hua and sustenance, not a lot can grow. So, you know, while we might be going out and doing some dives here and there, perhaps doing a bit of fishing, we're not as active in the gardens. Our soils are too cold to maintain anything. A lot of our bugs have gone underground, so they're not pollinating the way that they would in spring and summer. And so it is a really settled, quiet time, and coming together to think about what's happened and what's about to be is a significant shift, you know. For so many whānau I know, the first and perhaps only time they get together in a large group, which talks to the disconnect, I think, of tangata ki te tangata, whānau ki te whānau, whānau ki te whenua. So I'm wondering what you're thinking about when you reflect on what has been, particularly the last season. It's been quite a tumultuous year, we acknowledge that, and what you're hoping to get out of the...
I think for me, I've definitely found it within, especially from Fetal Rising. So one of the beauties of going with the maramataka, especially heavily during the COVID lockdowns, was you just, that time was very hard for people mentally, but thinking about actually, I just have to get to Fetal because Fetal then resets and then we start again. And then it was kind of this cool thing for me to measure, to know that I just have to get to Fetal and then I know the cycle restarts. And it's a bit like that with matariki as well. So definitely in Fetal, I could feel my whole brain just sort of shut down. And I think it's a good reflection of the fact that we mimic our environment around us as well. So as you can see everything on the whenua, it starts to shut down as well. We're very lucky where we are beside the awa as well. We don't frost, but we can definitely feel the cold. And so when we drive into Greytown and that now, we can see the frost on the whenua. We can definitely know it's winter, but because we're very lucky where we are, we don't frost. I think it forces, your body does force you, but sometimes we just don't listen to it. And so I've found it really hard with all the matariki events and with all the awards and stuff and, you know, trying to rush around and do things before sort of matariki happens because, it's just, I feel like my body wants to hibernate and we're not allowing it to. And I've said so many times, I think Makuini, when I went and saw her, we had a chat about for a whole month leading into matariki and then a month out, I feel like we just need to shut down and be like, don't call me. We're not your dala matariki person.
Honour the body's needs.
And that we just need to actually have a rest and just hide under the duvet and, you know, take time to honour our our tinana.
And I think it's also valuing rest as productivity.
Yeah.
It is so important. It's a key. It's a key to being able to function at your thriving state.
And I think especially with the past year that we've had, because it's been so in our faces with all of what the government has done, I've been reading a lot around how rest is actually resistance because they want to tire us out. If you look internationally as well with all the initiatives where resistance, they try to wear you down as much as possible, so then you sort of give up. And so been reading a lot about how resting our hininaro, and not in the, you know, wellness sort of commercialized aspect, actually what brings us grounded and tau.
For sure.
And they're very different. You know, we talked a lot about with Api Rahama, you know, your brother, when he did the tohi ceremony and was taking us through that and pūre and stuff, and actually that was a form of how we can reset, recycle, and sort of clear a lot of hara away from us.
I love that, because that brings back the sacredness, eh?
Yeah.
When we think about colonization, we talk about lots of the tangible things that have been taken or stolen, but one of the things that's actually really hard to articulate because it's not as easily seen or noticed is the ceremony, is the sacred, is the tapu. It's the tapu that colonization has convinced us is not as important, or not important at all, or non-existent. And so I'm hearing from that whero, our new moon, particularly in the Wairarapa, particularly as Rangitāne, and Kahungunu, is a constant time of reset, a constant moment to ceremoniously gather and ritualise shredding and getting rid of hara and heaviness. But yeah, winter, hibernation is the big one, is the collective one, is the one that we all do it. And we've just lost that. We've lost that habit. And so maybe this year going forward, we start to habitualize rest again.
Yeah.
And be okay with giving ourselves permission to rest and being really explicit about it to others and owning it and being okay that others are resting and trying not to bog each other down with all the activities and the events and the
and the other thing that that people do a lot is they categorize ceremony as spiritual, and then once it gets into that round, then people go, oh well, that's, you know, voodoo
for
stuff,
me or not,
you know,
for me. That's
and
true.
So then it's sort of very demonized. And so when we talk about our waterways at in the tani at Tina Tupu and our environment team, you know, we just talk about there's some stuff that's tapu that you as like the regional council, you sometimes will know about it and we can tell you, and then sometimes we're just not going to tell you, and you need to just understand that we need the space and time to be able to pull back some of our tikanga and our mātauranga around how we do these types of things, because I think there's that form of judgment. Sometimes we fear what others might think of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It takes me back to the days I was in ECE as an educator, and it was not long before I became a parent for the first time. So Mario's 10 now, so I've been a parent for quite some time, which is crazy. Still learning every day, but you realise really quickly the word ritual ceremony doesn't necessarily need to connote to the spiritual. It is simply a routine that has some kind of significance or special element to it.
Yeah.
And so when we think of rituals in Te Ao Māori, particularly the ones that are attached to Te Ao or the markers, the stars, and they can be really simple ones. And so one thing we do now as a whānau is we have sit-down dinners that are a bit more intentional than the rushing from one activity to the next, trying to get some kai into our pukus and moving to the next one, at this time of the year, for example. And that an intentional dinner might simply be me really explicitly saying or asking my babies, hey, how are you feeling? And we just did it last week, actually, having been back home for a few days together, went out for dinner, sat at the restaurant because it was the only space we could get that didn't have other whānau members interrupting the flow of speech. But we checked in, Mario and Mareikura, how are you feeling now that you're here in this home. What are you missing about your Sicilian home? What is something you might feel sad about, and what is something you might feel quite excited about? And that really intentional ritual doesn't have to be spiritual, and it wasn't spiritual. Yeah. I mean, they were being their little spiritual selves anyway. But, you know, it can be really simple. It can be real simple, especially in the individual whānau level. And I'm really mindful of that.
I think the thing, especially after giving birth to children and having to go through parenting, so I'm fairly new to this gig. Only 3 or so years into it. But then I've also had to learn very quickly how to parent a 9-year-old as well. And so we go through that little ritual with our 9-year-old when he comes home from kura. You know, what went well, what didn't go so well, and what might we change for next time.
I love that.
And so even just that quick little check-in with him, we actually found out through that some kid had hit him. But if we said, are you okay, how was your day today, he would just go, oh, it's okay,
fine.
And so actually through doing this, and through, like you mentioned, like the ceremonies and the routines of doing stuff like this, we've actually, it teaches us to also honor our own feelings as well, which is you know, we weren't necessarily raised in a time when it was so great to you know, honor our feelings and be emotionally mature, and we've had to go through a lot in a long time. I know that when I came back to the Wairarapa, there was a lot of crying at like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
As you go through intergenerational trauma and trying to restore, like, how would I put it? Well, essentially replat out your whakapapa, because you're trying to mend things that have been disconnected. And so my journey back home is very intense. A lot of, as I used to say, have my asses haunted by my nannies. And so there was a lot of emotion to have to deal with quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that I did a lot of that prior to them being birthed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't imagine, and it's a bit harder because my partner's on a different journey and a bit longer one. And I'm sort of grateful that I went through that intense one quite quickly. But it was also, it's not something I would wish on anyone else. So,
well, I think you're also, you did it so that your tamariki don't have to do it. They don't have to carry that. Because they will intrinsically know their whakapapa, because you already have done that learning for them or with them.
And they will never question that they don't belong on Papawai or Hurunui or Rangi or Kohanui. They'll be able to walk onto those whare, and I don't think my aunties will ever let them forget either.
I like how you said haunted. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a continuous tense, and it's probably still haunting you.
Yeah,
we have that spiritual awareness and presence, and we have to accept it some days.
Well, the great thing as well is because I've gone through that, I've had some nephews and nieces reach out, and they're going, man, these nannies are quite sassy. And I was like, yes they are. They are continuous until you do what they're asking.
That's right. Yep, sometimes you can't ignore it. But that reminds me a couple of things while you were having your kōrero. I think back to what you were saying about rest and hibernation, and I often think about how incredible our aunties and nannies and tūpuna would have been at certain points in their lives with their physicality, like just being so physically fit and active all the time. But part of the balance was they could be, because they were resting just as much as they were being active. And so that's another reminder that if we can kind of channel our tūpuna, those are the practices that they were doing, and we know that they were thriving. You know, all of the evidence we have in our kōrero tukuiho, and the waiata that we sing, and the memories that we share, we know that they were all thriving in different ways, and they weren't always go, 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 go.
You know?
They were often very, very tau. So channel our aunties and nannies was the message, was the tohu. But the other thing I was thinking about is Davide. So my husband, as I've spoken about before, is a physio, and he works in the health sector, very busy at the moment because of all the winter sports. And in the, you know, 10 years of us kind of trying to be a bit more intentional around maramataka and tayau observations, especially as parents, we've realised that, yes, it is a busy time for physios during the winter period, because a lot of us are playing sport, so there is higher risk of injury or of accidents and incidents that obviously affect our physical health. But our bodies, particularly those of us with whakapapa Māori, were just not made to be running around at that capacity in the cold months of hibernation. And we're the only animals in the whole of the animal kingdom that tries to force more activity at a time of rest. We are. And so, you know, he's always like, well, if you're not following maramataka, I'll see you in the clinic on Monday, you know, because we should not be. And I recognise we're living in this very beautiful mixed society of different perspectives and ways of doing things. And I love sport, and I'm a hockey girl, and we're a rugby family, and so we're going to do it anyway. But I think there's something, there's some comfort in knowing, in that awareness, that we're a bit safer in the way we approach our rugby games. So we're doing lots more recovery, lots of stretching, lots of yoga. You know, being really good at fueling our kids so that they have less risk of injury, knowing that they're more than likely going to be in that high risk, all that stuff. And that's maramataka. Maramataka 101 is just knowing your body and how it sits within the ecosystem around it.
I think the other thing with, so I'm definitely, I was a hockey girl in my school as well, so I think all the cool kids were. But we're also sitting within a three-year cycle, so the other thing to think about is essentially this is a get stuff done maramataka that we're in. So the way that I have had it explained by Dr. Rangi Matamua is that we have 3 years before we then introduce a new month, and that is essentially our leap year.
That next year it must be,
Yeah, so what happens is when we can't see Matariki rising when we get up, it slips, it's sort of slipping down, and what it is we have to put an extra month in, and that continues. So it's about 11 days, I think, every year. And what the Pākehā system sort of does is it puts in an extra day. So that's the 29th of February. You'd think I'd remember because my birthday's in February, but alas, I'm not.
We're mums. We have lots to remember.
So essentially, for big, big, big projects, what happens is you sort of spend a year, the first year, sort of planning, thinking about things, reviewing, taking in a lot of information. The second year, sort of planning out what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. And the third year is your execution. And so you go through that cycle again. And so it, it will go back to actually what we've executed. Let's review it. Let's see what we're doing, how's that going, all that type of thing. So for me in my life, there's actually quite a few big projects I have, two in particular, and they have weirdly followed that cycle without me necessarily knowing.
Or not weirdly at all.
Or not weirdly at all. And the normalization of us knowing this information means that we can not stress about not being at different stages. So one of my kaupapas, Te Whare Hangahanga, we've talked about it here a few times, but that has weirdly followed the structure. And so we're at the point now where we're like, right, let's press go. We're going to do this thing. We want to make it work. And it just happens to be
so
in this
exciting,
the sketches done, you know, sort of period. And so it's like, well, we already have so much against us that we might as well have the maramataka and the whetū and the taiao
which
on our
side. Which have always been there, and they will always be there.
And so, you know, while we have our whero te whero, and we have intense rests and periods during that and intense times of productivity, and then we continue that on, that we then also look at the bigger projects with the yearly, let's look at those big cycles and what happens and how we go forward.
I was thinking about Rangi, and one of my intentional practices personally, just an individual thing, no one really triggered it. It was just I arrived at that point in my learning journey, which is a forever one, was trying to balance where I was getting my kōrero from. I had the great privilege of having Rangi as a kaiako a few years ago, and I've had lots and lots of wānanga with many other maramataka experts over the years, but I was trying to balance kōrero from different perspectives and kind of got into my wahine. kai kōrero, wahine akoranga, wahine ahorangi in the last maybe 2 to 5 years. And so I follow a number of them and their content. I try to engage with them when I can, interact with their puka puka or their awami when I can. And Hene Hoterene, who's actually travelling around the Wellington region.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think in the next month or so. She's, of course, known very very well on the Kapiti Coast. And her kind of anchoring of Maramataka is up in Northland, Te Nōta. And so they follow a slightly different cycle to us. They follow the Ōturu cycle, which, of course, is one of our big moons, one of our full moons. She often talks about just reminding ourselves what our tohu are and what tohu we've been led to believe or have to unlearn, I think, from probably years of European-centric curriculum, i.e. when it's autumn into winter, we look for the leaves that are falling off the trees. And actually, that doesn't really happen with our natives. Like, yes, our native plants and our native rako, they don't tend to shred the
They're
way.
They're all greens.
Exactly. Nor do they change into the oranges and the reds that we draw in pictures as children. And so she...
And just a quick handy tip here, e te whānau, you know when to cut down all the non-natives during autumn because they're the ones without leaves. So you just go hundi on those ones and then leave any ones that are still green.
They get bald. And I love that reminder that, yes, of course, so we are absolutely working with our foreign trees, with trees that are not of this whakapapa but have been introduced here, like our whakapapa Pākehā and our whakapapa Tawiwi. However, you know, if we were to follow the natives and the symbolic reference to shredding, shredding is about carrying emotion and carrying feeling and carrying energy, but without the heaviness of it all.
Yeah.
That's what we're shredding. We're not shredding the emotion itself, nor the ability to think or feel, because it's so human and it's so intrinsic in us. It's part of our modi.
Yeah.
We're just trying to let go of it burdening us or stopping us or becoming a barrier. And I love that thought that whakaaro is such a mama whakaaro, because we often have to do that, eh? We often have to just
carry.
Let go. Yeah, we are carrying.
Carry so much.
And if we're not letting go, it just gets heavier and heavier and harder and harder.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought that balance kōrero from a feminine perspective particularly. And I know she's a hardworking mama with so many, many hats and so many responsibilities. She's like, yes, I love that. The other mama I wanted to reference in our kōrero today, because she is a local, and I'm going to name you Sam really loudly. Is the idea that actually we don't have negative and positive emotions. They don't exist.
Yeah.
We just have emotions.
Yeah.
And we've conditioned ourselves to believe that some emotions are good ones.
Yeah.
And nice to have and positive, and some are not.
Mm.
However, emotions are just emotions. They're feelings, and what we do with them is really important, and how we actually articulate them. But we can't do that if we're not naming them.
Yes,
we're not sitting in them.
And it's a very colonial whakaaro to say, like, don't be sad, like, just suck it up, you know. And especially our tāne, they suffer massively from a lot of these kōrero, like,
stigmas.
Yeah, don't cry, don't do this, you know.
Also that it's not good to, that it's a bad thing to feel upset.
Yeah.
Or that it's a hara to feel angry and rage. And so we, as a whānau at least, at Matariki time, one of our resets is reminding ourselves of the whakapapa of our emotions. Because whakapapa, yes, it can be connected to genealogy and to ancestry and lineage. But actually, if we think about the wetewete of te reo, papa comes from Papa Tuanuku. Papa Tuanuku, our earth mother. So not only our atua, our goddess, the provider of all things, the sustenance of life itself, but papa is also about grounding and about being grounded. And so if we can think about that in atua terms, atua are both our deities, gods, and also our elemental forces, we can really quickly see where our emotions came from. And a lot of those emotions came from te timatanga, the very beginning of time, i.e. pre-us, what came before us, which was nature itself, te taiao. And I love thinking about ways to empower my kids to develop their emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And their ability to not just name their emotion, recognize it, recognize when it's not serving them or the people around them. Recognize it to a point where, okay, I'm feeling this emotion, I'm behaving this way because of it. Do I need to change that behavior or action so that I'm safer or the people around me are safer? And if I can't, where can I get help? And to feel okay with coming to us or other important adults in their lives.
Well, the irony that Matariki has been formed in some kōrero from emotion, right? It was Tawhiri Matia that was so angry and so upset that he crushed his eyes and threw them up in the sky. And so one of the things that sort of sticks with me is that I asked Matua and Mike Kawana to help us name a ropu that we were doing for our taiao space with Tina Tupu. And it came from Hura Kohatu, so the unveiling process. And what I really loved about it is so we named our ropu Hura Whenua. And the concept being that whether it's unveiling a headstone or co-designing stuff for our whenua, what we first have to do is sit down and deal with our emotions. And so we can grieve. Grieve for the someone that we've lost, or grieve for the whenua or for our awa that we've, you know, within the generation of my aunties and uncles, they've seen the destruction of our whenua, they've seen the destruction of our waterways in their lifetime. And so what do we do to sit with that emotion first and honour it? And then how do we sort of pave a new way forward and how we come together in a space with other people? And so part of our process at Hura Whenua is to also come up with sort of ceremonies as well. How do we honour the hurt and the mamai that some of our people have when they come into those spaces? And also even just thinking, I think part of it as well is a bit of a ceremony when people come home as well and they've never been to this whenua, because there's a few whānau I've brought home and we've gone for little mini tours around the Wairarapa, and they just feel mamai and they don't know why. And it's part of honouring honouring that, because what they are probably picking up on is the mamai that's on the whenua. And because we're so in tune, some people know how to work with it and some people don't. And so they'll just be like, I've had some whānau go, I'll never return there because I feel so pōuri. And it's like, well, there's a reason why you are feeling that way though, but how we deal with it and how we give homage to it while then paving a new way forward to allow us
always,
to.
Always acknowledging, tātou mā, it is okay to sit in the discomfort. Because we do, we just don't want to go back because it's, no, stand there and feel it and take it, because we can't develop the skill of recovering from it or moving with it if we're not ever dealing with it, if it's just constantly ignored.
Yeah.
We're not developing that skill. And it's so much easier for us as parents to help and guide our tamariki to do it, but we need to model it ourselves, It's pakeke.
Some of our cis adults need a bit more.
Yes.
If you need a dip in that awa, you just let us know. Yeah, give us a call.
Have a dunk.
Oh, I love that kōrero so much. Just a quick complete detour. I have received a message from Waitaka and she can't make it in time.
That's ketapai.
That's okay. So big mihi to our whānau member who is modelling what not to do during winter and running from one kaupapa to the next, which is literally what you and I were doing until this very moment.
Yep.
So we don't always practice what we preach.
And don't go down to peer pressure, whānau.
I always say learning never stops. So, you know, we're always learning and growing, trying to get better at this. Hey, I was thinking about what's our time? One of these practices I've been doing with a few of my tauira this week in particular, and since I got home, is the recognition of Maramataka being so much bigger than the lunar phases. It's a threefold system in our sky, but it's also about the environment, it's about tohu, it's about how all of those things interconnect. It's very complex. But if we stripped it back to the trifold, so whetū, that rise and fall, tamanui tera, that provides us light and warmth, and ngā marama, or the mata, the phases. What I've been asking everyone, I'm keen to hear your answers, the way you interpret this, is In terms of our whetū, what is something that is either falling or rising for you at the moment in your life? In terms of tamanui tera, something that's providing you with warmth or light? And what are you wearing today? What is your mata?
In terms of falling, I'm going to flip it around a little bit and say that I think it's more around what I keep close to my chest now. So my whānau time in the past year, I guess my massive learning for me has been not to give too much of myself to everyone else and to being really close and keeping my whānau safe. So as someone who has come from a whānau member that has been abused in her life and making sure that I uphold that tikanga, the safety of my tamariki are really vital for me. But also just giving them time and space and my energy as well and making sure that I'm not too hectic and that I just sometimes have to breathe and just be with them.
That sounds really physical too, rising. It is about breath. If we're really cognizant of our breath, what's actually going on here and what does it mean?
And I see it as falling because it's just being more tau and more grounded, I think, with my babies to make sure that it's intentional time I'm spending with them, that, you know, I'm making sure I'm tau when I come into spaces with them, that I want them to grow up better than we have been, more connected than we've been, teaching them all the things that I've been very lucky to learn over the past, I've only been home since 2018, trying to mash all that into their upbringing. So it's just not even, I guess it's the normalization of what we haven't been brought up with. The rising is probably going to be my kaupapa. Te whare hangahanga, and I don't think this has been announced anywhere, but we'll be setting up a charitable trust to sit alongside it. And so that will be called Ukaipō. And it is essentially we will be housing people and we'll be showing them how to be better landlords than what is currently out there. But it's kind of a nod to that motherly wrapping around and how do we ensure that we look after our people. So our social aspect will be ukaipō, and then how we build the whare will be through te whare hangahanga. So we're in the throes of sort of planning and madly doing all that so
rising
we can get stuff done.
Rising up.
And then tamanui tera is what gives me warmth and strength is really, again, my whānau. I'm really looking forward to we actually purchased some whenua out Hokio Beach. And we're trying to get a property on there. But reconnecting back into my whenua over there, because while I've been a very intense journey home to the Wairarapa, I am acutely aware that my nanny's father was from them, and I have whānau in the Taweki whānau over in the Hora Whenua. And they're still going through a lot of mamai within their whānau over there. There's a lot of where they want to revitalise their hapū and so also working out how I help contribute into those spaces to help whānau be empowered and doing the mahi over there. But also connecting into my partner's whānau and stuff like that because...
Yeah, we were just talking about that in the break, hey?
The
privilege that some of us have to know where those homes are.
Yeah, and so my partner's papa is buried in Christchurch and he didn't feel like he could go back to his home in Raitihi. But my partner wants to make sure that he is a pō for his whānau to return home to in Raitihi, Pipiriki. He is from Tūwharitoa, although we've had a bit of not an argument about it, but his tupuna bear the name Tūwharitoa. And so when I said to him, are you from Tūwharitoa? And he goes, nah, it's just a coincidence. And I was like, whakapapa never lies. That's all I got to say. And then it turned out that they are from there. So very close. And if you look at a map, you can go, oh, yeah, they're definitely from there.
Yeah.
But also my partner is also from Te Hapuku. So, you know, interweaving the stories of what Te Hapuku did down here in the Wairarapa and potentially getting our babies back up to the whenua up there, which is pretty much my babies are all from the lower North Island, essentially.
That's right.
But we're very lucky. One of my whānau have actually invited us to, through Kingi Ngātuiri, we actually, his wahine was from Ngāti Rārua, Taranaki, Ngāti Toa.
Up the other side.
Yes, and so one of the whānau members who she thanks me immensely for connecting her back, and we just kind of had these chats, and I'm always a person who is like, it's our whakapapa and you deserve information as much as I do. So I'm always willing to share what I've learned. And they have managed to get, I think they said about 300 of their whānau are going to be travelling to Ngāti Rārua to whakatū marae to connect back all that together. Side of their whānau. And I said, do you mind if I come? And so she said, no, you're absolutely welcome. So I get to join their whānau. I'll be the odd one out because I'm a different tupuna, but get to take my babies down and connect into a place that's where my baby's name actually comes from. So I found out my Ngāti Rārua whakapapa the day that I found out I was hapū with Waitapu, and in that whakapapa is the name Waitapu that I'd gotten for 2 years before I even named him.
Before you knew.
So I'm very excited to explore out that sort of whakapapa. So, you know, it seems to be all about whakapapa spotlight. And just, you know, making sure that we know where we can connect to and whatever. I'm very much of the opinion that whatever my babies, whoever haunts them, we can connect them to those places wherever they need to, and they will never fear walking onto their whenua or onto their marae. They won't have to go through that.
No.
They'll just always know. So, yeah, really exciting. And then what was the other one?
Mata. What do we see when we look at you at the moment, do you think? You know, mata's about the externalising because we don't always reveal. Hey, and you know what this is like. We do a lot of masking in our lives.
Yeah, and I probably do a lot more masking.
So we say haha tō mata, which is a little bit like saying kei te hakoe, kei te pēhi hakoe.
I think it's just having won a certain award, I'm struggling a lot. And I think it's my cousin Amos posted up something about when someone gives you a compliment, you just have to say thank you and move through it.
And be okay
and I'm
with that
being really being awkward enough. Because I just
have an awkward face on.
Well, I'm a person who's on the ground and I get stuff done behind the scenes I don't really do things for the glory or, you know.
Yeah.
But my partner's really excited because he said, well, you're finally getting recognition. And so I'm trying to accept compliments, but I find it very hard.
I love that. Just owning the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is, it's awkward. It's awkward.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, my mata is, you know, I mask a lot and I often look potentially happier than I am or more relaxed than I am or less stressed. At the moment, though, I'm feeling really activated. So I think my mata is probably one of determination. I can't quite, hasn't landed where exactly all my energy is going to go, but I just feel really ready for something. So really prepared. So that's the mata. I called it mata so that people remember where the word matariki comes from, gaze. But so I was with a good dear friend of mine, Tai, the last week, a really beautiful friend of mine, and he reminded me that mata and all of the other whakapapa connections of our language means eyes. And so it's, you know, sometimes we might have a mata, even if we're masking, but the eyes never actually lie. And so I might look very lively, but my eyes are very tired, for example. And I don't think I'm in that at the moment. I usually am. So I'm quite excited about that determination in me. I feel warmth and light from my whānau always, but I'm literally getting it from my nana and granddad at the moment because we're staying with them and it's very warm in their whare in both physical ways but also really symbolic ways. They bring a lot of light and we call it accoglienza in Italian, which is just love, so much love in that whare, and it's nice to be here for that reason. And then my rise and fall, falling for me has been a literal one in terms of getting off the flight, because I think while 2 weeks ago was our big flight back from the Northern Hemisphere, because I've been so busy, my feet didn't quite land until just this weekend.
Yeah.
When I was actually back in Wairarapa, where I was born, where lots of my whakapapa is. So I'm actually literally trying to fall back onto my feet because I feel like I've been up in the clouds for the last couple of weeks. The rise, I think, will be in seeing like you've mentioned already, our tamariki thrive. Mm. There's something about that next generation that is so intriguing to me. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
Just their lack of barriers.
And it's
like,
just going to be
so I've already seen Waitapu, who's three, like just nothing phases him.
No.
He just finds a solution.
Bothered, you know, and it's not to say they don't feel. They know what's going on. They're very informed. They feel it all.
Mm.
But there's a strength in them that no other generation before them have had. And that's obviously also privileged generation.
Yeah, and
right?
Just a little story. So we were in Christchurch, yes. And I didn't quite realise how many places were still fenced off or empty plots.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were walking through one to get to a cafe, and Waitapu basically said, "What happened, Papa?" And so Papa did this bit of a game and said, "Well, it all shook and then it fell down." Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh no. And he went, "But don't worry, we'll fix it."
Yeah.
And I was like, just this thing that this kid thinks that, you know, Te Whare Hangahanga is just going to fix it because we've got no barriers in his head to
nothing.
We'll just solve whatever's in our way.
Ooh, yeah. I'm so excited. What's our time? Are we almost in Pānui time? I've got a few just to mention, and I'll pass it over to you. But before I forget, for those of you who do know me intimately, or at least know some of the mahi that I do, I am very woven into the fabric that is Pūkaha National Wildlife Centre. So I did want to plug that their initiatives to try and gain or gauge more support from our communities, from businesses, from Aotearoa and Te Ao Whānui are still going. It is feeling a bit more positive up in Te Tapirenui or Whātonga at the moment, and we've had a big change of people at the helm. So watch this space, but please don't forget us. The tautoko is absolutely appreciated, whether it's small or big, whether it's in monetary terms or in other ways. Any rawemi, any tautoko that we can get up at Pūkaha National Wildlife Centre, we would love that. And you can do that through any of the social pages. You can Google Pūkaha. You can see it through a lot of our media pages. Really, really recognise what they're going through at the moment.
And the last remnants of Te Tāpirinui or Whātonga.
It's going to be a big change, whatever it looks like. Mm. And I'm just really mindful that it's our whenua. And those of us who descend from Whātonga, and there are thousands of us.
Yeah, quite a kabillion. Yeah,
thousands, kabillions of us. We need to be part of that change, and we need to be part of the tautoko that, that the organisation needs to make sure that they're honouring their way of operationally keeping that place going and protecting our manu and other native species. So that's one. The other one is lots of matariki events on. So I've got a few, and then I'll pass it back over to you. Riversdale have their matariki market from 2 p.m. tomorrow. That's Friday. Featherston are having a massive matariki festival, and so if you're in the Featherston area, I think the best way was to go onto social media. They've got a matariki festival page.
Yes, yep, and they've got a whole bunch of stuff from Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
They've got a big schedule, don't they? And lots of different
age-appropriate Featherstone, Martinborough, I think they've got a whole bunch on there.
For those of our rangitāne whānau who are a little further south, so if you're over the hill, for example, Te Whanganui Ātara have their Ahi Kā events, which starts tonight, Thursday evening, and will go all weekend. They include fires, gatherings. Te Papa's having their whānau day, there are concerts, there are light shows, so heaps going on in Te Whanganui Ātara.
I think if you're in the Hora Whenua, they're having some midi midi mahi over there. I think tomorrow, Aupōpō.
Beautiful.
So that sounds pretty cool.
The only other one I had for matariki that I think is probably more relevant to our Wairarapa whānau is our business, Māori and Business Breakfast, that Māori and Business Wairarapa are putting on for us next week, the 25th, 7:15 a.m.
Oh, yes, I'm speaking at that.
Yes, so come along if you're in business, if you're thinking about getting into business, if you're somehow connected into small business in particular, because that tends to be where a lot of our tangata are putting their mahi energy.
Mm.
It'll be a nice gathering and a good time again to start widening the network and getting the support that a lot of us need all the time. But that's me. I'll pass it over to you for the pānui.
The only pānui I was going to do in addition to that is the Regulatory Standards Bill, Ete Whānau. So we have, I think, 4 days left to be able to get submissions in. So if you don't know the Regulatory Standards Bill, we have talked about it multiple times. It's basically this bill which is going to give David Seymour a lot of powers, and basically all the Act principles come into effect, and it removes any collective sort of human rights, and it will go back to property ownership rights. So if you kind of read between the lines, it's basically giving businesses massive power, and then we as the people have next to nothing. They already haven't followed their own principles for good lawmaking to be able to create this law.
How ironic.
There is so much wrong with this bill, e te whānau. But what we do need to do is put a submission in to say that you don't agree with the bill and that you want it removed, or you want it killed, or you want, you know, some form of basically saying that you don't support it and that you don't want it to continue any further. The closing date for submissions is 1 p.m. Monday the 23rd of June 2025. So if you have put in another submission December last year, Carl, that doesn't count. That was a different submission. You need to have done one in the past, I think it's 10, 15 days. The website, also, I'll just give you a bit of a plug. The website is going up and down like a yo-yo, so you will have to, if you need to. Don't be fancy, e te whānau. You don't need to write a thesis. Other people are doing that. Just put your name in, your email. If you struggle, send me your name and your email and consent to do it, and I'll do it on your behalf, all right? So it's really easy. You go to the website. We'll put the website up on our Facebook page as well, and we'll try to share it around a bit. But you have until Monday to do that.
That's really important. And I think many of us are on the kaupapa. Those who are not yet, get on the kaupapa. And those who are needing the support, we are here. So Kahurangi Facebook page, Arrow FM Facebook page. Otherwise, you can contact me, Tahia, T-A-A-H-I-A, at reorua.com.
Or Amber at tahitoka.nz, T-A-H-E-T-O-K-A.nz.
Kapai. Tai taua ki te wāwhaka kapi o tēnei a Tangaroa Aroto o Aonui. Gosh, that was a big show, and I feel like we've got so much more to say. But that's okay. We're at the end now. Did you want to karaoke and then I can talk to the waiata?
Kapai. Yeah. What have we got? Unuhia, unuhia. Unuhia I te uru tapa nui, kia wātea, kia māma, te nākau, te tinana, te wairua I te arataka tū. Ko ia rā I rongo whakairia ake ki runga, kia o tīna.
Tīna.
Haumie, huie, tai kie.
Anei te waiata, nā te whare tapere o te arewa, arā ko e hiwa e. Bringing in all of the exciting abundance for the season ahead, and looking to our star, Kiwa I te rangi. Kita